Welcome back to another episode of the PAX What She Said podcast. I'm one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein, and we are here to talk about the game so you don't have to. Packers traveled to Denver, lost 27-2. It's just the preseason. It's fine, but it wasn't fun to watch, and we're going to talk about it. So, Perry, for starters, how are you doing? Hopefully better than the Packers.
I'm East Coast time, stayed up past my bedtime to watch that game. I am okay to admit that I did go to bed a little earlier at least than the game ended. I will say that it was the middle of the fourth quarter and I thought, you know, it's fine.
What am I gonna miss, really?
Yeah. It was past 11 p.m. and I was like, I think it's okay. But it was not their finest showing. Not their finest showing for sure. But like you said, it is the preseason. I have actually a lot of thoughts on like the way the preseason, what the preseason is used for the team versus the way the fans watch preseason. And I think there's like a major, I was thinking about it last night while I was scrolling Twitter.
While trying to not watch the game, just like
well, I was watching the game and I was looking at the commentary about the game on Twitter, and I was just thinking that there's such a big disconnect around like what fans expect versus like what the preseason is for. And I'm not dismissing by any means like what that was from the Packers. However, I am not up in arms at the Packers' second and third string like depth chart players not performing up to standards. Like the Broncos had their full first string offense and defense out on the field for the entire first half of that game. Like who you saw in the first half is who the Broncos are going to be playing week one, come week one. It's hard to evaluate. It's really, really hard, I think, for me and for probably the coaching staff. I want your opinion on this too. I think it's a really like uneven and difficult evaluation. Now it's good to see who stands out and who steps up and what the level of intensity is. And there's certain individual players who we'll talk about at a certain point who were bright spots in this game, but no, of course they're not going to like take it to Cortland Sutton and Tim Patrick. I mean, those are their, they didn't have the first, what, four cornerbacks playing. It's just a very difficult thing. So I want your thoughts and then we can kind of talk about what we did see and what the takeaways were.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are really good points. And I think that does make it difficult. And again, no disrespect to Adam Stenovich, of course, but he was calling the offense. And whether that makes any difference, like Matt LaFleur is trying to get a 300,000 foot view of his entire team instead of trying to call plays on offense. And that, you know, maybe is a contributing factor. And then, like you said, you're going up against starters and you've got your third string guys out there. I mean, 31 players didn't suit up for the Packers. And yeah, we'll look at snap counts and things, but they were relying on a lot of really young guys who probably are not going to see the active roster in this game. And that's a challenge. But we kind of talked about this a little bit pre-show. And the thing that I kept going back to during the game was that it's just really hard to evaluate talent when there's such a talent disparity between the two teams.
Yes.
And that's the challenge in the preseason, is how do you get to accurately evaluate the caliber of players that you have when you know they're not going to be starters, you know they're depth pieces, but they're going up against starting NFL players. There's a talent caliber there that's missing. And you look at, you know, Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt combined for 95 yards. And it's really hard to assess their performances other than, wow, that wasn't great, when you're trying to look at them against a starting defense, when we've talked and said, hey, we're not really sure either of these guys, if something were to happen to Jordan Love, the Packers would feel comfortable trotting them out there. And I think this is kind of when you say, yeah, we're realizing that. And not just that, but you're looking at like Malik Keith, Bo Melton, Grant DuBose, Samori Toure, your bottom wide receiver guys that are fighting for one or two roster spots. the longest play was like 11 yards yesterday. It's really hard to be able to evaluate those guys when the quarterbacks they're playing with can't get them the ball. And there's just so many layers to it. And yes, that's why there's training camp. That's why those practices probably matter more than preseason games, because your coaches see it. You're playing against, you know, your competition every day at your level, but it makes it really challenging to kind of evaluate the guys that you really feel comfortable with on the active roster.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you make a great point, which is what I was thinking last night, which is the goal of this, of all of these preseason games, right, isn't to win. You're not here saying, oh, these games count. I want to kick the Broncos, but we want to leave 1-0. No, the goal, to your point, is to evaluate and try to get to the end of preseason with the best 53-man roster you can to go into the season to win games. And in order to do that, you use these games like exhibition games. That's what they are. It's to get to the most accurate depiction of what real in-game action is without it being meaningful really in any way to the actual season, and see what these guys can do. And unfortunately for the Packers in this game, there really weren't any meaningful takeaways from this game because of that disparity in the caliber of talent, to your point, right? All the competitions that we wanted to get like some clarity around, there really wasn't any. You mentioned the wide receivers. Like, we're still looking at Grant DuBose and Malik Heath and Bo Melton potentially as like who of these wide receivers are going to make this roster. I don't know, because none of them really could catch passes. What is the O-line depth, you know, look like? And I think that was maybe the only one that you could get some semblance of, but again, they're getting beat badly because they're going up against starting edge rushers. And okay, that's great to see how they go up against starters, but it's still not good. It's not good because they're getting beat, you know. The kicker competition is a great one. You know, you and I were messaging last night being like, at least let's just try to get some field goals here because the kickers need some time. Okay, we finally get a field goal opportunity, one, and it's a miss, right? So, and neither quarterbacks had a great night. And because all of a sudden we do also have this conversation of who is your backup quarterback. And the question now is like, well, do we want either of them, because at this point, if Jordan Love goes down, and the season's screwed anyway. So unfortunately, like the goal of preseason is to kind of make these determinations for kind of the back half of this roster. And this game didn't even achieve that, which is the unfortunate part to me coming out of Denver.
And I think it's hard too, because, you know, Matt LaFleur post game had kind of talked about, there's like a resilience factor that you want to see from these young guys, and you want to see the urgency, and you want to see them come out and, you know, you got punched in the mouth and you can respond. And he said like the defense tightened up in the second half and, you know, guys started to play a little bit better, but it is kind of tough to go into that environment. Sean Clifford had said like, I'm not used to these kinds of losses, like this kind of feeling, like when you're used to winning football games in college and you're used to being around, I mean, he was a backup, but went to the divisional round of the playoffs. Like when you get punched in the mouth this hard, like he said, like the team didn't really know how to respond to that. And I think to Matt LaFleur's point, thank God it happened now, like in week two of the preseason. And yes, of course there is, you know, once again, going back to the talent discrepancy issue, but still, I mean, it's a learning lesson for a lot of these young guys. And unfortunately, it was a real opportunity for some of these guys to like secure their spots. Yeah. And nobody, I mean, we'll talk about some of the bright spots, but nobody really just like harnessed the opportunity as much as you would want. Because honestly, these last couple preseason games are kind of when people start to pull away with jobs. And it didn't really feel like anybody did enough in this second game to say, yes, I've declared my spot.
I agree with you. I totally agree with you, because the first game, there were a few guys that you're like, oh, you know, and we talked about them on our last show and we're like, let's keep an eye on them on these next few games. And then you get into this game and there was really nothing. And you mentioned the, I mean, just the total yardage, even on offense. It's like, how can you even pull away when they can't really do anything? So there are some things that we can glean from this game. And mainly it involves, I think, around who played and who didn't, and who, how much they did play, right? Snap counts and what that means. You can take your flowers, because I think the biggest one is that AJ Dillon did not play, which is, as we talked about on our last show, is likely a big indication of that he has secured his spot on this roster. You can have your feelings about it, you being the audience, either which way, but I think that is like a pretty big indication of how they feel about him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's telling. And I thought the snap counts for the running backs were really interesting. Emmanuel Wilson played over half of snaps, 56% of snaps. And there's enough bodies on the roster that I was like, okay, they've got Merriweather. They just brought in McCreary. So they had enough people there that it was like, okay, they could probably each get a quarter or whatever. They really wanted to see a lot of Emmanuel Wilson. And I don't know if that's, you know, again, he's like 53, 54 on their roster and they're trying to decide if he's making the roster. Maybe they're really concerned about Marshawn Lloyd and the hamstring issues, and maybe he's not going to be able to start the season. But I really feel like I think, you know, we talked about this a little bit pre-show, that there were some rumors or thoughts that maybe AJ was dealing with like altitude sickness, or there was something where he wasn't fit to play. I think knowing the mentality of a football player, unless AJ Dillon was like physically could not get out onto the field, I think he would have played if he thought his roster spot was in jeopardy, even feeling kind of nauseous or whatever it was. So the fact that he sat says a lot about how the Packers, at least I think, how they feel about him, and that he's pretty much a roster lock. But what that looks like for the rest of the room gets really tricky, because we're seeing more and more of Emmanuel Wilson. And every time he goes out there, we like what we see. And he's got burst and shiftiness and quickness and all the things that you'd want from a complimentary back. He doesn't need to be a starter. AJ Dillon doesn't need to be a starter. Like, that's why you brought in Josh Jacobs. So that makes it really tricky, is then, okay, if Wilson claims a spot, the Packers are carrying four running backs. Where do you sacrifice? Is it one of your linemen? Is it, you know, three tight ends instead of four? Is it five or six wide receivers instead of seven? Like, I'm curious where you stand on that picture.
Oh boy. I don't know if I'm like quite there yet. I mean, probably linemen, but at the same time, like the depth is shaky. Or maybe a defensive lineman. Like, and I'm sure we'll get into that right now, because there's kind of a battle at the end of the defensive lineman. I don't know. I don't know if I can make, we'll get there with our 53 man roster prediction, I think. But for me, like, this is going to be a tough one, because you actually also, I feel like, have to think about it. This is a cop-out answer.
That's okay.
Because you still do get the 16 man practice squad, right? So it's a 53 man roster, but you also get the 16 guys on the practice squad. So it's a sacrifice, but more than likely you're going to get all those guys back, right? I know we always think that we're not, but we do. So I don't know. Cause I think that, like, regardless of who they cut, they're probably going to get them back. Anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it makes it really difficult to kind of determine where they're placing the most value. So one of the snap counts that you and I talked about that we were surprised by is that Royce Newman played 100% of snaps. And I don't know necessarily what that means.
Yeah.
Because we've seen in other preseasons, Justin McCray comes to mind, because he was somebody that I was rooting for on the team. And he played a lot in the third preseason game. I think he didn't play. Something happened where he just wasn't playing as much. And we were like, oh, okay, that probably means that you're pretty comfortable. Once you get into these second and third preseason games, it's like, do you want to play? is the idea that you want to go out there and show that you're worth keeping? Would you prefer that they play you less? Does that mean, like, in coach speak, like, hey, we feel pretty good about you? Do you want to play first? Because if you're playing in the fourth quarter of the third preseason game, that probably doesn't bode well for you. Like, him playing 100% of snaps on the offensive line is really interesting. And the second was Glover, played 81% of snaps, and then Jacob Monk played 71% of snaps. So really looking at their O-line intensely here.
Yeah, I think those are such good examples because I think the snap counts for those three players mean very different things based on where they are in their careers, right? Because for Glover and for Monk, these are like imperative snaps. They're rookies. They're still developing. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, this is about as close as you're getting to real game time action without it mattering. And so from a development standpoint, this is as good as it gets. You can throw them out there into any position on the offensive line that a coach would want to see them at, see how they hold up. You have tape for them to go back and look at. Like, this is A plus when it comes to like development. For Royce, I think it's on the opposite end of like more concerning, because if you've been on the team for, what is it, four seasons now? I would have to look, four or five seasons now, and you're still playing 100% of snaps in the preseason and your spot isn't locked up, it probably means you're like on the hot seat, roster bubble, last legs, right? That, I mean, that's my interpretation of it. Like, you should not, they should know exactly what they have in you at this point. And the fact that he was giving up pressures, like didn't have a good game, right, also does not bode well for him. I think already he's played a ton of snaps for the Packers on the line already in his career. So playing this much in the preseason, I think, is a negative.
And I thought that was really interesting because, to, you know, the opposite end of that, Andre Dillard played 24% of snaps and they pulled him. And then they had Kadeem Telford out there. They had Caleb Jones. Glover, of course, played a ton of tackle snaps. But yeah, so it was kind of the flip side of that, where Royce was just competing all night for all of his reps. And Andre Dillard only playing 14 plays, I was like, I think he's making the team. I didn't necessarily think that going into the preseason, but then when they pulled him as early as they did, I was like, okay, I think that they're comfortable. He might be the leader in the clubhouse at that swing tackle role.
Right. Exactly. They're like, okay, we saw what we needed to, and now you're done. That's why, yeah, it feels a little bit different with Royce. I would maybe feel similarly if they didn't play him at all. Right. And they were like, well, we know exactly what you are, but it doesn't look great.
Do you ever wonder, and maybe this is just me thinking this, but as guys get older, and we haven't seen it a ton with the Packers, but sometimes they'll release players before like the third preseason game or before cut down day, because you're trying to give players an opportunity to latch on elsewhere. And there's a part of me that wonders, with a guy like Royce Newman, like, maybe they know that he's not making the roster, but maybe there's, and I think part of it's a depth thing. Like, they sat 31 players. I'm sure some of these guys just had to play more snaps than they intended to, but you almost wonder if it's like, we're going to give you the opportunity to put as much tape out there as possible so that you can maybe stick elsewhere, because we know you're not going to stick with us. And maybe that's just like, you know, me coming up with a conspiracy theory, but I do wonder if that ever is the case for the Packers or any team that plays guys that you wouldn't expect to be playing this many snaps in the preseason.
Like, you think that they'll cut him before the next game just to give him an opportunity on another team?
I don't know if they will before the final game, but I wonder if they're just trying to give him as many looks as possible for a broader audience for a team that needs, like, depth.
I don't think that they would do that for another team. Like, especially if they're cutting a player and then getting nothing in return. Like, why would they do that for another team?
I guess I didn't know he's not going to... If he's not going to make their 53 or their practice squad, maybe it's like, we don't care, but thanks for your service.
I don't think they're not that nice. I think they have other things to think about.
Probably. Let's talk about the defense, because there were, I had at least, I was intrigued by the inside linebacker position, because we got to see Tyron Hopper play, which we'll talk about. But Eric Wilson was one of the starters. It was Wilson and Hopper as the inside linebackers. Obviously, Cooper's still coming back from injury, so he has yet to play. But Isaiah McDuffie sat.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Quay sat. So I thought that was really telling, because you and I last episode talked about where do things stack up between Eric Wilson, between McDuffie. And then I feel for a guy like Christian Welch, who had, he's been having a really, really nice preseason. And I think in any other roster cut down from the last like three or four seasons, he would probably be your inside linebacker 4 or 5, especially because of how much he plays on special teams.
Right.
But knowing that the Packers drafted 2 inside linebackers, they sat McDuffie. They're not cutting Quay unless he can somehow like usurp Eric Wilson, who coaches have been praising all training camp. That one's tough, because that to me, that like that inside linebacker competition is probably one of the hardest at this point to evaluate.
Yeah. So I also noticed that Isaiah McDuffie didn't play, which I'm not surprised about, because to me, he is like, they have 3 starters, right? It's Quay, Cooper, and Isaiah McDuffie. Like those are, if you're talking like traditional, like 3 linebackers, that is to me. And then you get Eric Wilson and then Hopper, I think, will make his way up the ranks, given, I mean, I don't know if we want to go into our bright spots on the night, but
sure.
Hopper was easily like the bright spot of the night, I will say. It was the first time really getting like a good look at him, right? And I thought he was all over the place, in on all the major run stops. I think I messaged you making like a thumper joke, like that his name was very apt being Hopper. But he looked great. And you make a really great point about Christian Welch, because he was my other bright spot on the night. Mm-hmm. He had another takeaway. He plays hard on special teams, and unfortunately, or fortunately, for the Packers, they have 5 like really nice options, and we know how they feel about keeping draft picks, and Hopper's playing well. So he's not going anywhere. And so I think it just doesn't bode well for Christian Welch. I think he's a perfect candidate to come back on the practice squad, perfect candidate, but they aren't going to, I don't think, get rid of Eric Wilson either, but then there's no way that they're keeping that many inside linebackers.
And I think this is the hard part too, is when you talk about these guys like Eric Wilson and Christian Welch, they're probably competing for 1 inside linebacker role, but also likely whoever gets that spot is probably playing like 70% of your special team snaps.
Yes.
Like probably not playing a ton on defense, but a huge core special teamer. And it's the same thing we talked about. Tyler Davis came back, which was really cool to see him finally in game action for the first time since his injury. He said that he teared up a little bit in pregame because it was just special to be back. Mm-hmm. Ben Sims still playing over 50% of snaps on special teams. Tyler Davis and Ben Sims were the 2 starters for the second string offense. Do the Packers keep 4 tight ends? I don't know. Maybe it's one or the other, considering they have wide receivers and running backs that they really like. So all of these kind of what do you sacrifice to add elsewhere conversations get really difficult when you're thinking about, wow, they have 6 pretty good inside linebackers, but they're not going to keep 6, especially if a guy like Oladapo comes on strong and plays like that box inside linebacker safety role really nicely. It looked like Evan Williams was doing that a little bit in practice. Javon Bullard is big enough to do that. So especially if they're going to cross train these guys as much as they are, having the position versatility to also then take a ton of snaps on special teams is like paramount to making the roster.
Well, it's the only way you cling on to a roster when you are number 47 through 53, right? But also that's why I always have to remind myself that it really is plus 16.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so when guys do stand out, like a Christian Welch does in a preseason game, I think, okay, well, he's, like I said, the perfect candidate to come back on the practice squad. If they do, and they seem to like Eric Wilson much more. And he's obviously, you know, in this game, at least the starter on defense at inside linebacker. I'm really glad you brought up the safeties quick, because we also saw Ketan Oladapo in his first defensive snaps in this game. We did see Javon Bullard play. He got pulled very early, which I thought was also interesting if we were talking about snap counts. I think I'm trying to gain some level of insight from this game when there wasn't too much to gain. And so I don't want to look too far into it. But it also, it's telling to see when they're like, you know, the guys who you expect to be starters, at least when they say we're not playing starters, and then some guys do play who you think are going to end up starting in the regular season, like a Javon Bullard, even though he's a rookie. And then they pull them quite early. It's quite telling.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that you can kind of see they're like trying to balance the fine line of a lot, like Carl Brooks and Colby Wooden are making the roster. They played like 30-ish% of defensive snaps because you're just going to run out of bodies at that point. Like some of these guys just had to play regardless. Evan Williams, obviously making the roster, could be a starter in some sub packages, 20 snaps, 32% of defensive snaps. So like kind of in that same vein with Bullard, where it's like, these are the guys you have to walk a balance of, like giving them game reps before they get into the regular season versus seeing what you have in other guys. And that's why I think like the Michael Penix situation in Atlanta is really strange, that they're like, oh, we've seen enough of him for the preseason, he's not going to play anymore. That is what if he's your backup quarterback potentially behind
Kirk Cousins? He's like never played in the NFL. Yeah.
Right. At what point does it become a detriment to not play at all? And I think that's why, you know, we'll see what Matt LaFleur says later this week. He said they had to kind of evaluate and see if the starters were going to play Saturday. And if they do, how much they're going to play, because maybe after a performance like this, he's like, no, all the starters are going to get at least a couple series out there. Or he's like, you know what? The second and third stringers didn't show nearly enough. We can't afford to give up 10 minutes of playing time, 15 minutes of playing time to the starters.
Yeah. Or if they're like, we, in his mind, there's still too many decisions they need to make, and they need as much playing time as possible for the guys that are still on the cusp. And it's not worth it. I wonder if, and I don't know if this is something that they would ever admit, but I do wonder if they ever make decisions based on potentially what the other team does. Like if the Broncos playing their starters for a full half and seeing how that affected. No, probably not, because competition is competition. You just have to see how guys stack up regardless. I mean, you might get called, I'm contradicting myself as I'm thinking out loud, but it's like, if guys are going to have to get called, it's like a next man up mentality, mm-hmm. I guess. Like guys are going to have to get called up potentially in mid season anyway, and they're going to have to play against starters, and it just doesn't matter.
So. Yeah. And I mean, I do think like some of the numbers, like Anthony Johnson Jr. played a ton and they had him listed as free safety on the game book. Some of the guys like Evan Williams is DB. So I also think it's interesting, like how they classify certain players in like where maybe they see their primary role. Mm-hmm. Javon Bullard is also listed as DB, which is interesting.
Just DB. I love
just
that.
DB. Yeah.
Just DB. Like versatile. The combine.
Any thoughts? We're
any final thoughts? No. I think this is gonna be a big week. Obviously the Ravens is a joint practice again, so bringing back that intensity and hopefully cordial atmosphere with the Ravens, and it's gonna be a big third preseason game. It's the final game, so this is it.
Yeah, I think that, you know, is going to be telling. Like you said, the Packers, by all accounts, it sounded like the Broncos got the better of them in joint practices. So I think that was kind of rough too for the starters to not have the opportunity to then go back out there in like game action and you know, play better. And I'm curious if that will make, like, maybe Matt LaFleur is genuine and he won't know until Friday evening or Saturday morning if the starters are playing. Like, if Jordan Love goes out there and the offense goes out there and the defense and they look great against Lamar and the Ravens first string, then I could see Matt LaFleur being like, okay, this is fine. This is just as competitive as a preseason game would be. Mm-hmm. Everything's fine. If they go out there and they lay an egg in practice again, and they look the way that it sounded like they did against the Broncos, then I could see Matt being like, no, 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 we can't go into the regular season with this hanging over us as our last opportunity. So I think we'll learn a lot more later in the week when the Ravens actually come to town.
I agree with you. I agree.
Well, we'll see what happens. The Ravens will come to Green Bay later in this week. And then there's an early noon game on Saturday. So no having to stay up till 11 p.m. Eastern to watch what we hope will be a much better game. And then roster cuts happen just a couple days later, very early next week. We'll know who the Packers' initial 53-man roster is. So we'll be back later this week to talk about some of the Ravens players and what that's going to look like, things we're hearing and seeing out of training camp. And then we'll have another show probably right after to talk about the game and look at our 53-man roster predictions, because there's a lot to still decide and not a lot of time to do it, less than a week. So thank you, as always, for listening to the show. You can find the podcast on Twitter at PWSS Podcast, Perry at Perry _ Goldstein, me at Maggie J. Loney. If you're listening to the audio format, thank you so much. We always appreciate that. You can find the show everywhere you find your favorite podcasts. And if you're listening to us or watching us on YouTube, we appreciate that as well. Thank you for the likes and the subscriptions to the channel. It means a lot to us. We'll be back later on this week. Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go. So excited my chair broke.